Conversation number 38-12. Portion of a telephone conversation between the President and John D. Ehrlichman. This portion was recorded on April 13, 1973, between 6:16 and 6:31 p.m.
Hello.
Mr. President.
Yeah.
I have Mr. Ehrlichman calling you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Hello. Yes, sir. Well, they have quite a tale of horrors to tell. The bit of information that they had was that Hunt has decided to tell all of the grand jury Monday at 2 that the way they put it, it's not conclusive, but my suspicion is that Bittman, his lawyer, made a deal with the government so that Bittman does not get caught in this obstruction of justice business. But he will...
Bittman, Hunt's lawyer?
Right. He will implicate the committee lawyers, Parkinson and O'Brien, as the bagmen and the transmitters of money through Hunt to the Cubans and through Hunt to Mrs. Hunt for other people and so on and so forth.
Why will Hunt do this, do they say?
They think simply because he has no incentive to stand mute now. He sees the whole thing going up in smoke, and he just doesn't want to be the only guy holding the bag.
Do you think he's going to get something out of it, though?
I think Bittman is the guy who's getting something out of it. And, of course, Hunt purges himself of contempt when he does this, so he gets a little something out of it, certainly.
This is sentencing. This is at the committee, however.
No, this is at the grand jury.
I understand, but what he's at the grand jury, he's pissing on the committee.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Now, all of this whole hour I just spent with these fellows was a Sink Mitchell operation.
Well, I hope you laid into him a little bit.
I did, and I have for what it's worth, I have Coltsman's commitment that he will do nothing, say nothing, make no move without prior approval at this point.
But what was their argument about Sinking Mitchell? I mean,
well, it isn't an argument. They recount a whole lot of details and circumstances here. There are apparently two other grand juries at work. The one that we knew about,
one in New York,
right,
yeah,
which is very close to indicting Mitchell on something called Section 201, which involves his giving an appointment when he was Attorney General, seeing Vesco in consideration of a campaign contribution. And they represent one of the witnesses, Danny Hofgren, who has testified in that case, so they're pretty well up on the progress of that, they say.
Right.
The second is here in Washington, where the grand jury was convened to indict a fellow named Klein for income tax evasion. And apparently, it comes out that he gave money to Mitchell, and they were not clear on whether it was supposed to be campaign contributions or what, in return for Klein getting government contracts.
Jesus Christ.
I can't either. But anyway, the grand jury thinks there's enough there that they're going along on it, and
that's
progress. Now, Liddy and Hunt had a conversation, according to Hunt. This fellow Shapiro has interviewed Hunt, and Hunt told him this.
Yeah.
Liddy and Hunt. Hunt says, this is a screwball operation, this Watergate thing. I don't think I want to go forward with it. Liddy says, well, Howard, we have to. We can't call it off now. Mr. Mitchell has specifically instructed that we do, and we must go ahead. So this is
who tells
Hunt tells this. This is Hunt's
right.
testimony, and it's
yeah.
just a and so on and so
right.
it comes
right.
in.
Right.
Also, Hunt tells Shapiro the reason Liddy is sitting there is without saying anything is he has a blood oath from Mitchell that he's going to get a presidential pardon.
Shit.
So
Mitchell's never talked to me, of course, about
right.
But presumably never anybody
that will also go in. You see. Now,
Mitchell, you think that, you know, he might have done it, though.
Well, I don't know, but in any event, that's what Hunt will say Liddy told him, you see. That's the problem. Another thing Hunt will presumably testify is that he was advised to leave the country by John Dean right after this.
Was he?
I think he was. I don't know whether John advised him. I think somebody must have, because he went to ground and he was missing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have several They have several suggestions. They say, first of all, what's going to happen is that by Wednesday of next week, if Hunt goes in like this, this is sure to leak, and there'll be a big front page story about some of these allegations.
Right.
Lots of congressional excitement, lots of thrashing around among Republicans.
Right.
Next, they say the only thing you can do is beat this thing to the punch, and they have several suggestions.
Fire Dean.
Well, no, that's a minor aspect of this. All hardly get to that. Incidentally, I read Coulson's long basic document, which was written before he knew that Hunt was going, and that has Fire Dean and these other things in it.
Yeah.
First thing Shapiro says is to restate very clearly that criminal conduct is not embraced within executive privilege. Never was intended to cover it.
Well, that isn't for me, but that's for somebody else to do that.
Yeah, but he means from here.
No, I don't.
Justice Department.
Either you or,
Kleindienst could do that. That no act, no criminal act is within the scope and so on.
Right. I agree with that.
Secondly, someone, Coulson says me, Shapiro says Fred Fielding or somebody, but if somebody comes into you and lays out the damaging evidence, the U.S. attorney is given the damaging evidence by somebody in the president's behalf. Next, the president's man goes to see Gordon Liddy and says, Gordon, I don't know what you may have been promised, but obviously no one had authority to promise you a pardon. The only way you could be entitled to any consideration in a case of this kind would be by coming clean, by telling the truth. And the president very much wants you to tell the truth, always has wanted you to tell the truth, regardless. Then, you have stolen a march on Hunt. You have broken the case by persuading Liddy to come clean. He's the key to the Watergate thing. The focus is all on Watergate with Liddy. And you have demonstrated your desire that all come out.
That's their plan. Well, how does this all affect Coulson?
Well, I don't know how it all affects Coulson. Hunt has got to talk a lot about Coulson, I would guess. Oh, one...
That's the other point, guys. He wants to keep Hunt silent.
One marginal piece of news that they brought in that has Coulson a little shook is that McCord has told the U.S. attorney that he participated in an operation with Hunt to go out to Las Vegas, leave their airplane with the engines going, standing by, go into town, bust Hank Greenspun's safe, steal some stuff from it, jump back in the airplane, and come on back. And that Coulson masterminded it.
What in the name of God would that be?
I can't imagine. But Coulson stoutly and devoutly maintains that he never heard a thing about it. That never heard of it before. Never heard of Hank Greenspun before. So forth.
Yeah. Well, you see, you've got to analyze all of this, John, as you, of course, know, in terms of what Coulson and Shapiro are thinking of.
Sure.
But, why don't you think it over a bit?
I will.
See where we go from here.
It's another Mitchell tubing. Their whole point is that sometime between now and 2 o'clock Monday afternoon, you have to sink Mitchell, and that every minute counts.
I have to sink Mitchell. In order to
detach yourself from it, because otherwise Hunt will have conclusively sunk him, and nothing you can do thereafter could get out ahead of it.
What do they say? In essence, Hunt is going to testify, is that it?
Right.
When?
2 o'clock Monday.
Mm-hmm. And on that occasion, he's going to say what? Let's run that over again with me, if you will.
He will tell about his conversation with Liddy, where Liddy said, we have to do this because Mitchell insists on it.
Right.
He will say Liddy told him that he shouldn't Liddy wasn't going to testify because Mitchell was going to get him a presidential pardon. Participated.
How do we handle that, the presidential pardon thing? We just deny it.
Flat out deny it.
Vigorously strong. Well, frankly, it's not only a flat out denial, it's totally true.
That's right.
Mitchell's never discussed the goddamn case with me.
Right.
The way he says, Mitchell says he's going to get a pardon. Well, that's Mitchell. Right? Not that that's any comfort.
He says that that Mitchell has to be aware of these other two grand juries going, and that is certainly adding to his mental confusion at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, all that you've said doesn't particularly change anything that we talked about this afternoon.
No, not really. Not really.
Except the...
cumulative in many respects.
Well, except on the Hunt thing, I don't know.
I think I had better let Dean know this in case he doesn't know it. Because this will change some of this aftermath business, I think. Because Hunt is an actor in that aftermath business.
You mean that Dean then would say that he...
Well, I don't know if it would change his testimony any, but he certainly ought to be aware that it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you to do this, and you check with Bob on it.
He's sitting right here.
You've got to figure what will... Put yourself in Magruder's and Mitchell's place. What are they going to do? Are they going to... Is Mitchell going to sit here and...
Martha?
And the rest?
I think so.
What do you think he's going to do?
Come in.
Huh?
I think they'll come into the U.S. attorney. I think Magruder's ready now.
Come in and confess?
Sure.
Yeah. But what are they going to do? They're going to piss on the White House. That's what I'm worried
about.
Oh,
I see.
Mitchell going to say...
I don't think Magruder will. I think Higbee sewed him... up pretty tight on this telephone thing,
yeah,
as far as Bob's concerned.
That's not evidence, of course.
He'll try and get Dean and Strawn into this, I think.
Higbee will?
No.
I mean, Magruder will?
Yeah.
But you see, the telephone conversation is not evidence, John.
I understand, but right. It's a prior and consistent statement, and Higbee's a witness, and he refreshes his recollection by a recorded conversation.
Mm-hmm. Which was illegal.
Well, sure, but nevertheless, it's a basis for refreshment.
All right, fine. What does Mitchell say? What the hell does he do? He doesn't want to hurt the president. That's for damn sure. This is a decent man.
Well, if I were Mitchell, I'd get on a plane, and I'd come down here and ask to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come in and say, I put this meeting off as long as I can. Now you've got to know what happened.
Right.
And it's up to you as to what I do from here.
You see, you can be very considerate about a former attorney general, you know.
Sure.
That's the point that he's got to realize. But goddamn, he may just decide to stonewall and fight it through. He'll never win on that, will he?
I can't see that he would. He's just
with Liddy
hand and foot.
With Liddy cracking, if Liddy cracks and Hunt cracks, shit. But no, Hunt's hearsay, though.
Well, he's hearsay on a lot of it. He's not hearsay on Colson, and that may be a problem for us.
I really think Colson is deeply concerned about Hunt, don't you?
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Or did you sense that from your meeting?
He had had Hunt talk to Shapiro a long time.
Yeah.
The day.
Yeah.
At that time, Hunt was of a frame of mind that he was not going to say anything.
Right. But now he is.
Now he is. And I think Bittman has brought him around.
Bittman, who is Hunt's attorney.
Right.
And I don't know what's in it for Hunt to come around.
Well,
what the hell? He probably figures he isn't going to get a presidential pardon. That's what it gets down to.
Sure.
Let's face it. And he isn't. You know goddamn well I can't give him a pardon.
That's right.
They're looking right in the... Colson sort of made all these protestations, perhaps, to him, and he knows damn well we can't come true on him.
Because
Colson has no commitment.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's it?
And Colson isn't here anymore, and the thing is obviously going a different direction.
So Hunt says, good God, let's cut my losses.
Colson probably said, you know, the White House will hardline this thing, and you don't have a thing to worry about.
Yeah. So Hunt then will pull the plug and... isn't that really Colson's concern, that Hunt will pull the plug on him?
He didn't say so, but I'm sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably doing everything he can to get a line around Hunt at this point.
But at the present time, for God's sakes, keep him from talking. And
I understand.
Tell the truth, but for Christ's sake, don't go off on his own.
I couldn't raise that other question with Shapiro here.
Yeah.
But I will. And
I know. I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, fine.
This concludes the Abuse of Government Power segments for conversation number 38-12.